We can go ahead and start getting started, and hopefully these remaining four sisters will be joining us in a few minutes, four or five. So welcome, ladies. It's so good to be back. It's been a month since our last group call, which is the longest I've ever gone without hosting one of these calls. So I've been missing you all. I've been appreciating you all from afar. And it's also been really good for me to tap out a little bit and just kind of extract myself from the inside of everything and get some nature time so that I can come back refreshed and all jazzed up for today and for the upcoming weeks and months. So thank you all so much for your patience and your support. So I'm going to go ahead and walk us through what's going to happen today. It's going to be similar to some of the previous calls that we've had. I want to keep this largely interactive, though, because I know that the value of these calls is, yes, it's informational, but also the interactive piece of this as well, and supporting each other is like just, it's so wonderful. So I will keep the majority of this interactive, meaning that the latter portion of the call, the latter 45 minutes or so, will be a group activity. So to start out, we're going to do an introduction round, which we do every call. So that means, oh, hi, Jess. Yay, welcome. Good timing. So we're just beginning introduction. So introduction means that we're going to say our name, our location, where, how we're feeling right now. So physiologically, emotionally, just kind of a feeling state so that we can all empathically tune into each other. And then something that we're grateful for. So name, location, how are we feeling, and something that we're grateful for. And we'll go ahead and do round robin style. I'll kind of call your names out and you're welcome to offer that up so everyone can get to know everybody else. Yeah, Kim's in the house. Hey, Kim. Look at your cute hair every time. It's like so cute. Hi, Kim. So we're about to do introductions. Let's see here. We've got one new member tonight so far. I'm anticipating potentially two additional new members that will be joining us as well. So that's always exciting. And I'll actually offer it up to you first, Shannon, because you're our new tribe sister, if you're willing. Name, location, how are you feeling, and something that you're grateful for. And everybody give Shannon a big warm welcome hug. Yay, welcome. I'm going to go ahead and unmute you. There you go.
Okay. Can you hear me okay now?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm Shannon Titcombe. I live in Tarpon Springs, Florida, which is the Tampa Bay area of Florida. And I'm very grateful for a smooth transition into some new schools for my kids. So after a long day today, I'm happy to be here and listen in and see what kind of new journey that I'm going on, especially since I had my discovery or my first initial call today. So I'm grateful for that. And I'm happy to be here. I'm tired, but I'm happy to be here.
Yay. Thanks for being here. Thanks for making the time after a long day and kids starting school and all kinds of new things happening for you. We appreciate you being here and we're super happy to have you. Yeah.
Yay. Thank you.
Absolutely. Welcome aboard. And then I'll circle around to Julie. Hey, Julie.
Hi, everyone. I guess am I the elder you were talking about?
Well, you and the of the other women. I would say most of you actually have been around for over a year at least.
Yeah, I recognize a lot of faces. Anyway,
you're not the only elder.
I'm in New York City. Yay.
Yay.
But man, I have been struggling here lately. So just feeling a little disconnected with I don't know, maybe my lifestyle here or just something's a little off. But I am so grateful for what brought me back here, which is a job that I love. And I'm really in this like place of like a lot of work, a lot of stimulation, and so it's really keeping me on my toes. So I'm feeling grateful for my job. I'm feeling a little bit disconnected by where I live, but still I'm happy to be here, and I'm excited to hear some inspirational, you know, talk and share all this with you all. I haven't been on a call in a while, but it's good to see everyone.
Welcome back. Yay. Awesome. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy life to be with us as well. And I'm so happy to hear that you're in New York still and enjoying the job and all that good stuff. In fact, some of the things we're going to talk about tonight, Julie, you actually implemented in our coaching to help you make that massive life transition to go for your hell yes. So I'm just going to plant that little seed. I might use you as an example a little bit later. Cool. Sylvia, hey.
Hey, everyone. I'm Sylvia, currently living in North Carolina. My husband and I just got done touring the U.S. for a year in our motorhome, and now we're kind of settling down in our new home. So feeling kind of on track with goals. That's probably how I'm feeling now, and I'm grateful for the friends that I've started to make in our new area. So happy to be here.
Yay. Awesome. I'm so excited that you guys have found a groove and a new home out there and that you're making some new friends. That's amazing. So exciting. Good for you. Yay. Jess, hi.
Hi. I am Jessica. I'm in Chicago and I recognize almost all of you except for Shannon. So I guess Yay. So awesome to see you all. And I am feeling, I'm realizing right now that I'm feeling a little bit anxious, actually. I have, a couple months ago, I took a big leap and I left my job and I've been on a couple months of just trying to explore and check in with myself on making sure that I understand like what it is that I actually want. And I think I'm finally at that point where I have made that commitment in a specific path, and it's like super exciting and also super intimidating. So this call is very timely and I appreciate that. And I'm really grateful for, I haven't been on a call in a while, but I always listen to the recordings and I'm just so grateful for having that resource because I feel like I am able to like stay in tune with what people are up to, and also to like hear all the different perspectives is always super helpful, no matter like what space I'm in. So yeah.
Beautiful. Yay. Thanks for speaking to that and sharing that with the tribe with regard to how you segued or you left your job and you're striking out on your own and doing something really, you know, exciting and big and bold and brave and then saying like, now I know what it is. Like that's huge that you're declaring that to the universe and to us. So yay. And I'm also happy to hear that the call recordings are valuable and that people listen to them. I had a lot of feedback around that value piece with those. So great. Kim, hey Kim. I can't see you, but I see that you are here. I'm not sure if you had to step away. There you are. Hi.
I have to do 5,000 things at one time. Hello, I'm Kim. I'm in Ohio. And I am feeling anxious, but excited. My son leaves for college on Sunday, so I'm a little anxious about that, but I'm also excited. I'm excited for him. And my school year starts next Tuesday, and my daughter starts at a new school on Wednesday. So, yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of starts. That's a lot of shifts and new beginnings. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who can relate with that? Those of you who are maybe mamas or caretakers in their family, caregivers of children in their lives and the school year beginning and all that good stuff. Yeah. I know there's a few of you. Thanks for sharing that, Kim. And did someone just move into a new house?
I did.
Congrats.
Like, I'm ready to go back. My summer was too short. I'm thinking I did a ton of things this summer, so. But yes.
Congrats. Yay.
Thanks.
Good to see you. Layla, hi. Good to see you, too. Oh, my gosh. I'm so honored that you're here. I know you've been traveling.
Oh, okay. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi. I'm honored to be here. It's been a really long time. So I think that one of the things I definitely feel is grateful to be on a call with you all. It's been quite a long time for me. And seeing some familiar faces and a new face. Another thing I'm grateful for. Oh, I'm in Chiang Mai, Thailand. We just got here 2 days ago, and I'm so happy to be out here. I haven't really explored yet because I've been working since I've been here, but it's so much cooler out here in compared to where I've been. Everywhere I've been, it's been extremely hot and very humid and very sunny. And here it's still pretty warm, but the mornings are cool and misty, and the evenings are cool and misty. It almost feels like a really nice summer night back home in San Diego. So, or summer morning back home in San Diego. So I'm really excited, and I'll share the view with you guys. It's really green.
Oh, awesome.
You can see it.
Yeah. Wow. We're all kinking our necks. Your screen is also, it's sideways. I'm not sure if you're on your phone or your computer, but there we go. Okay. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's awesome. Pretty. Yeah. Yeah. It's a little hard to see because of the fence here, but I hope this gives you guys an idea, but it's so, so, so pretty. And you can see the mountains from here. So yeah. So happy to be on with you guys.
Yay. Good morning. Thank you for joining us. And I'm so glad that your travels were safe and that you've arrived and landed and starting a new adventure. That's awesome.
Yay. Thank you.
Yeah. Lisa. Hi.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, good to see everybody. I am doing good today, just coming off a 6-day journey with my daughter up in Canada. We had a much needed bit of time off the island of Sandpoint and the goings on of the summer. So I'm feeling really grateful to have had the opportunity to do that trip. And we were able to spend some time at an ashram, and then we also met with Fawn and did some camping for 4 days on a beautiful lake called Kootenai Lake. So there's just nothing like living with people you love when you wake up in tents every day and have to keep the fire going all day long, and sharing food, and just, I'm grateful for all the settling in space that we had to decompress and be in nature, and of course with people that we love. So feeling grateful, and also a little bit anxious coming home. Fawn and I were talking about just kind of reflecting on all the transitions that have been going on in our tribe. And I realized that I too have left my job. And so I'm coming home and still redesigning what I'm doing for my livelihood. And so that's got me feeling some anxiety and just feeling like I still have a lot of work to do. So that's where I'm at today.
Thanks for
good to be here,
that.
Though.
Yay, so happy to be here. Yeah. Yeah, so I know that a lot of you are in that space of like either recently into the transition or maybe recent or on some contextual part or side of the transition right now, and like feeling that out or navigating it, or maybe even putting the plan that you've created into effect and learning the new ropes and all of that. So this is the right space to be in. And I'm so happy that each of you who feel that way or are here. And Lisa, thank you for offering that up too, just that sense of like vulnerability, and Jessica as well. And yeah. Mm-hmm. And lastly, Ren, hello.
Hey guys, good to see you all.
Me too.
I am still here just outside of Rockford, Illinois, about 2 hours out of Chicago. Today I am excited and a little anxious, and I've just got all the feels today. My first actual freelance gig after getting laid off from my day job in April, that just finished up yesterday, about a month and a half sooner than expected.
Yes. Zoe, is that a good thing or bad thing? Sorry, I'm like...
I don't know. I mean, I'm okay with it. I'm totally okay with it because I kind of felt it coming like a few days before. Like, they just didn't have the work they were expecting to come in. And I'm okay with it because I was starting to feel like I was ready to move on. As much as I loved helping them and I want to be able to, I do want to go back and help them again at some point. But yeah, I'm feeling a little transitory at the moment. And I'm also excited because I've already got an interview tomorrow morning for another freelance temporary job. So, but yeah, I mean,
good for you.
Yeah, but yeah, I am a little anxious because I'm just don't know what's coming up next, but I think I'm okay, so it's all good.
I appreciate your honesty and your attitude.
Yeah, and I'm grateful for, I don't know, everything. I'm just going to go with everything right now.
Beautiful.
It's a busy week.
I'm grateful for the birds chirping in the background that I can hear.
Yeah.
Thank you for your birds, Ren.
I got a video to post on later, by the way. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you all of you for introducing yourselves. Usually I introduce myself first, but I saved myself till last today. I'm Fawn, and I'm currently in Nelson, British Columbia, which is an awesome little town up here in the mountains on the Big Lake, and one of my favorite towns ever. It just has such a vibrant arts community. People are really consciously minded. There's like really great food here, amazing food here as well. So I'm back at one of my favorite places for a couple days, which I'm really thrilled about. And I'm feeling a little anxious myself as well. I'm feeling happy to see all of you here and have everybody here sharing space, but I'm also feeling a little anxious because tonight's content is like, it's really deep and it's a lot of neuroscience. And so I really want, I'm like hoping that I can convey this in a way that's digestible and applicable for all of you. So feeling a little like that. And then I'm grateful to be back on the call with all of you. I was really excited about this all day, actually, this week leading up to tonight. So thank you all for making the time to be here. Yay. Awesome. Okay, so thank you for the introduction round. We are going to segue right into, actually, I wasn't going to hold space for Q&A or share tonight because of how much content there is, but if anybody feels really called to share, like, you know, I'm in motion of doing this, or this is an update, or I have a question, or I'm really stuck here, let's go ahead and hold space for that for 5 minutes. If anyone feels like that there's something alive for them that they'd like to share with the group or would like some feedback around. And you can just go ahead and raise your hand and volunteer yourself. Okay, everyone's cruising along. Julie, yay, awesome. I'm so curious because we haven't seen you in a while. So I'm like, give us an update.
It's so funny because I was like, should I email and say I want to be in like the hot seat tonight, or like, so I'm like, I have some stuff going on, and I think it's definitely what motivated me to get on the call tonight. I have been like, because I feel very inspired by the topic of the call, because there's a lot of things in my life, I think, that I'm like desiring and not feeling, having huge doubts, you know, that they will come to fruition or that I can make them happen. One of them, like, I love my job. I work with amazing, brilliant women, and we create a network for other brilliant executive women and expert women. And also we do the same for companies as well. We help them foster a community for women in their company and offer them leadership programs. And so I'm like daily very inspired by my team and the people that I work with. So I'm feeling a little bit of doubt around my role in the company. Like, I've always loved working super hard and having like even being overwhelmed, I guess. Not that I like the feeling of being overwhelmed, but having a lot of work, so much that I am always doing something, never bored. So I really like that about my job, but I don't just want to be someone that does what people tell me to do. And I just wrote down because it popped in my head, like my desire is to be an expert, a leader, you know, have something that people come to me for my knowledge about and just, you know, kind of coming to a place that I see these women that I work with where they're at. You know, I really, they're my mentors, and I'm hoping to achieve the kind of things that they've done and how I feel about them. So that's one thing. And then the other thing is being in New York has been interesting, because I when I was doing my coaching with Fawn, I decided that I was going to leave New York. I had lived here for 7 years, and I decided I was going to move back to my hometown in South Carolina, launch my writing career, and, you know, do my own business. So I did that, and when it happened, some things came up along the way, and I really attribute like where I am now to me taking that leap when we were doing coaching, because I don't think I would have been anywhere around, you know, available or just there. You know, that was really the first step in my personal growth, I think. So lately I've just been feeling really disconnected from New York, like unhappy feeling, and, you know, missing, I left my cat in South Carolina. So like missing my cat, missing my parents. Oh my gosh. My mom was, just finished a round of chemotherapy because she was, diagnosed with lymphoma. So like that happened, and it was a huge, you know, occurrence in my life, thinking the first time that I ever felt like my parents are not going to be here forever. And so that was really tough. So I'm having a lot of, that's what I'm struggling with. It's like, what are my values around that? Do I want to be closer to my parents for, you know, the, you know, what I'm doing? Do I want to be like single-ish, making it on my own in New York, living in a small apartment? Do I want to go back home and downsize where there's not a lot of opportunity, or maybe, you know, and be closer to my family? So that's what's going on. So I have a lot of doubt about whether I can figure this out, whether I'm going to make the right decisions, whether I can like find this happiness wherever I decide to go. So thank you for letting me say all of that, because it's, you know, it's really unique to have a place to be able to talk about it.
Thank you so much, Julie, for sharing that. That's an enormous amount to be navigating right now. And I'm so sorry to hear about your mom.
Thank you. She's, she just finished her rounds of chemo and she has good reports from it. So okay. Yeah, so it's in a good place right now. Mm-hmm. And she's been in a really good place the whole time. So thank you.
Yeah. Would anyone like to give some support to Julie? No pressure here at all, but and not necessarily like feedback or advice at this point, but just like empathy, support, any words of sisterhood. I'm sensing that we're all like group hugging you. Oh, Shannon, yeah. Go ahead. I'm gonna unmute you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that I'm very sorry about your mom, but I'm so glad to hear that she's in a good place and hopefully on the upswing, but I'll definitely send some positive vibes your way and for strength and to figure out, you know, whether or not you want to make the transition back to support her or stay. And it sounds like you have an awesome job and I really, really enjoy listening to what you surround yourself with. So that's actually very, very positive for me. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Leila, did you want to offer something up?
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, I'm so sorry to hear about your family. And I can relate. It's not easy, you know, being out here and being so far away from home. I can totally relate to that, especially when you have loved ones that aren't doing so well. Or, well, thankfully, you know, she's getting good reports, your mom. But, you know, I've had those thoughts about my parents, too, since I've been out there. I've been out here. So that's a lot to take. And a lot of confliction there. So I just want to say, you know, thank you for being honest with us. And I'm definitely sending, you know, positive thoughts and prayers your way. And, you know, with your job, yeah, it does sound really awesome. And I don't know if, like, working remotely, digitally at all is an option with your job, if you could do your job at all online. I know of a lot of people that have had transitions into working their jobs online because they've had, like, I had a friend that her husband went to rehab and she was able to bring all of her work online with her so she could be in the office if she needed to and then work on her computer if she needed to. I don't know if that all is an option, but, you know, if that you think that might be, I hope that's of help. That's a lot to think about and I can understand why that would be very difficult for you. So, definitely sending positive thoughts your way.
Thank you.
Yeah, big time. Thank you, Leila. Thank you, Shannon, for offering that up. Yeah, we're all here for you. We're all sending you love. I'm speaking for the tribe because I can feel it in the body language of everybody right now. We're like, oh, yeah. And if you, or anybody else at any time, but Julie, if you want to articulate that or maybe summarize it or even unpack it more in the Facebook group, and if you have any specific asks, like, hey, like, has anyone else been in this situation? If so, like, how did you navigate it or what was helpful or what did you learn? You know, like, by all means, that's what we're here for. So leverage the wisdom of the tribe if that's something that's of interest to you. And I can almost guarantee that there will be some sisters who come out and share their journey with you and support in that way. So. Yeah, thank you. And hopefully tonight's call is, you know, offers some insight in the way of that as well. All right. Thank you for that share. Let's go ahead and segue into tonight's call theme. So I will preface this by saying that this is a deep dive into some pretty nerdy stuff. So I'm not going to pretend like it's not. But what I'm attempting to do here, my intention here is to empower all of you with some badass current science and empirical evidence around how the brain works and how in understanding our brains, we can create the results that we want in our life, whether it be our mindsets, our beliefs, our castles, our what have you. So I'm going to be introducing some concepts to you that you may or may not be familiar with. I'm going to keep these relatively brief because for the sake of time. But if you do want to continue researching this or continue going on into a deep dive around it, I am happy to offer up some of the resources that are that I've been gleaning from. I mean, I've been studying neuroscience for 15 years, so a lot of this is me kind of taking and amalgamating and paraphrasing things that I've known, but then I've also been refreshing by reading some of the literature that is modern and up to date. So for those of you who are interested, let me know. I've linked the primary resource that I've used here in the workbook itself, so feel free to dive into that. It's really fun. It's an amazing book. It's called Deviate, and it's like really captivating and interesting, but then like it explains all the things about how the brain works. So the goal here is to empower you with some information and then about how the brain works, but then also how we utilize that information to actually suspend disbelief or change our beliefs or get rid of limiting beliefs. And then we're going to do a group exercise actually utilizing those tools that or the steps that we'll be learning tonight. And I'll have you each in a round robin fashion support each other and walk each other through. I think it's a set of 4 or 5 questions to help like play with these new tools and these new ideas to create that openness or the breakthrough or the transformation around where the limiting belief or the disbelief used to be and kind of cracking that apart a bit. So I'm probably going to cruise through the information part of this pretty succinctly. If I'm going too fast or if anybody has a question as I move along, please just raise your hand or just interrupt me. And then you can always go back and listen to the call recording and or I'm always happy to unpack or go into further detail in the Facebook group as well around anything that I talk about. So with that, with no further ado, any questions before we get started? Okay, Layla's like just waking up. I appreciate that so much. Okay, so I'm going to do a screen share here. Let's see. All right, so please do put yourselves on mute. I think I'm hearing somebody. Cool. I have a question. Can you ladies see each other when I do my screen share? Like, can everyone see everyone or can you just see me? Kim, can you let me know? You can see 4 people. Okay, Jess can see 4 people. Sylvia, you see 4 people? Okay, I feel like we're doing some optical illusion test right now. Who sees 4 people? Okay, and if I toggle this to the left, do you see a different set of 4 people? Shannon, do you see people? No, do you just see me? You see the same 4 people. Interesting. Okay, so while I go through the information part of this, I'm going to keep the screen share, but then when we go into the group facilitation, then I will take it off screen share so that each of you can see each other because there's a lot of value in being able to interface in that way. Hope that makes sense. Okay. All right, ladies. So suspending disbelief. Obviously, this resonates with each of you in some capacity because you're all here. Either that or you're just curious about what these calls are about. Either way, we're happy that you're here. So suspending disbelief is something that I learned about from Mary Morrissey, who back when was one of the first like coaches. I think that's how I kind of found out about like the field of really empowering high impact coaching was through Mary. And I took a couple of her programs. I went to her seminars and it was really then that my background in psychology found its home in how the application of human potential and helping people create lives that they love. So she had used this phrase, suspending disbelief. And I was like, you know, like, what is she talking about? Like, of course we have to have beliefs, like without beliefs, we're going to be lost. But in working with her, working through those programs, and then playing with this idea, I realized what I'm about to share with you tonight. And we're going to be really calling out and challenging our brains and our minds. And this isn't to shake your foundation as a human on an existential level and make you like worry about whether existence is real or like if you're, you know, if you're going crazy or anything like that, right? I'm not trying to invite you to reality test things to like an extreme degree. What I am inviting is for you to just absorb this information, take it into consideration and start playing with it and see how things begin to show up in your life differently with the new perspectives or the new tools. And I also want to make mention that I respect any belief systems that are here religiously, culturally, familially, I'm certainly not trying to invite anybody to abandon or take on anything that is not comfortable for them. So I'm coming into this with that respect. And I am inviting all of you to question everything. So that's part of what this is all about as well. Okay. So suspending disbelief, let's start with what is a belief, right? And why is that important? And then, what then is disbelief and how does it get in our way? So as several of you who've probably worked with me for a while or been in the program for a while, I talk a lot about gremlins. I talk a lot about limiting beliefs, stories, things that come up for us when we even think about changing our life, right? We even have this like idea of, oh, I think I might want to quit my job. And then it's like, vroom, like the fears come up and the doubts come up and we start to like wonder if we could actually do it or all of, you know, this fountain of things spills forth when we claim this for ourselves, or when we start to even consider that we may want to do it. Let me go ahead and mute. That was Lisa. Okay. So belief is an interesting thing because it's something that is very helpful and very, very empowering in creating the results that we want. But beliefs ultimately are not necessarily true or real objectively. So I'll unpack that in a second. But so in the Taming Your Gremlin book from Module 3, Rick Carson has this quote, a belief is an opinion that you've committed to repeatedly and accepted as truth. So in this book, Taming Your Gremlin, and also in the Deviate book, that is the most recent, it's on the leading edge of the latest neuroscience, The truth is that our beliefs they're subjective, right? We formulate our beliefs based on our previous experience, right? So if something has happened repeatedly, if we see that other people have experienced it, if we hear a story over and over again, or if we're conditioned in some way, then this kind of roots into our consciousness or into our brain, and we begin to accept it as like objective truth, right? So what this book does, Deviate, what Deviate does is it starts with biology. It starts with the human eye or the human ear. And he kind of brings to the table this notion that everything is inherently, I'll scroll down a little bit here, that everything is inherently meaningless. And that might be hard to grapple with or like sound like an existential crisis. But what that means is that what exists in the objective world exists in and of itself. And we are the ones that interpret the meaning around the thing or the event. So if I didn't think about this, but there's a Buddhist parable that I think demonstrates this really well. Hope I don't butcher this super on the fly, but so there was a small village and there was a family in the village. And one day the son comes home and he had found this wild horse and he had roped this wild horse and he brought it home. And everybody in the village was like, oh my gosh, how fortunate for you. How lucky that your son has this strong horse that can drag wood and carry water and help with your family, you know, your family's well-being. And the father said, maybe so, maybe so. And the week passes, next week, the villagers come pounding at the father's door. Oh my gosh, you need to come outside, come outside. And the father goes outside and the horse had thrown his son and the son broke his leg, shattered his leg. And everybody in the village said, oh my gosh, that's so horrible. That is awful. And the father says, maybe so, maybe so. And then the next week, a war breaks out, a civil war breaks out, and the army comes through recruiting young men, young, strong men for the army to enlist them to go to a pretty brutal civil war. And because the son had a broken leg, he wasn't able to go. And everybody in the village said, how fortunate for you that your son didn't have to go to war. And the father said, maybe so, maybe so. So that totally just came out of the ether for me. But the point that I'm demonstrating with that is that it's our interpretation of the world around us and the events around us. It's even our interpretation when we look at something that we perceive as being blue optically, right in our eyes. Other creatures see that blue as a completely different experience. Some of them see three-dimensional fractals. Some of them see black and white. So reality as we know it is subjective, and the information that we then consider to be true or like a belief is actually very malleable, and it's based on past experience. It's based on our physical experience, biological experience, and our interpreted experience. So in order to make things efficient, our brains being amazing as they are, our brains start to create what are called heuristics. So heuristics are shortcuts, right? So over time, our brains don't want to have to think, oh, big, vicious, barking dog running at me. I wonder if it's going to bite me. I think I'm going to stand here and find out. Our brains, heuristically, over time, or based on what we've been told or what we've experienced, our brains know, okay, run, or like get in the car, or like close the door, right? So these heuristics, these shortcuts are for the sake of efficiency cognitively, but they can really start to work against us when we just start to accept things for what they are. And we don't start to question our reality. We don't ask, oh, like, is this actually true? Like, what else might have been going on there? Maybe this dog just got kicked by a horse and it's like running down the street because it's terrified. So what we're going to be doing in this exercise and learning in a moment here is how to slow things down, how to question these beliefs, right? Inversely, the disbelief, and then work with our neurobiology, work with our neurochemistry to start repatterning disbelief in a few different ways. So belief is accepting that something is true or that something exists. So you'll notice the word acceptance here. Like, acceptance is a voluntary thing, right? Like, either accept that this cup is white and black or I don't. Trust, faith, or confidence in someone or something. So these are all like, these are volition, right? Technically we have a choice, but we can tend to fall into those, like, those patterns, those heuristics. A confidence in the truth or existence of something not immediately susceptible to rigorous proof. So this is where a lot of us, as we're dreaming up our hell yes life, this is where we can start to feel the doubt, right? Or the like, oh, like, how can I have confidence in something if I don't have proof that it's going to happen, right? I'd love to start my own business, but how, I have no idea if I'm going to be able to monetize it. Like, what if I don't get any customers, or what if the economy crashes, or, you know, all the things. So this lack of confidence, that's where it begins to shift into disbelief, right? So doubt, lack of faith, rejection, assumption. So is this making sense so far? I'm breaking a lot of stuff down for you ladies. Okay, cool. So who right now, raise your hand. I just want to see a show of hands. Who right now is feeling some disbelief around something in their life? It's hard to connect with that like belief piece for you. Okay, like it doesn't seem possible or real. Okay, yeah, everybody. except for Shannon. Just joking. So I just wanted to see where we were as a group with that. Okay, so everyone's feeling some disbelief. So as I mentioned a moment ago, belief and disbelief are a result of perception, interpretation, a result of our story, a result of what he calls in the book assumptions. So our everyday experience is a set of thousands of assumptions that are operating simultaneously. The assumption that the door, when I turn the handle and pull, will open. The assumption that gravity is going to be around today. The assumption that I have two arms and two legs, right? These are all assumptions that are based on my previous experience. So I know this is getting a little bit heady, but everything in our present moment is based on the past. Like, every thought, every assumption we have, every belief we have is based on the past, unless we begin to interrupt that pattern and we start to create new beliefs based on new ideas or outside evidence or other things that I'll be talking about in a second. So I just want to really emphasize to all of you ladies that belief and disbelief, I know this sounds like Yoda, but belief and disbelief are in our minds. Like it's in our minds. It's not inherently true. That one thing over the other, it's our meaning making and the evidence that we create and or provide around these beliefs that then start to help make them feel more calcified or true. So, and you've probably, a lot of you have probably heard me say before that neurons that fire together, wire together, right? So in neurobiologically, what's happening is that the more we repeat something or the more severe something is, the more rooted it's going to become in our consciousness. So, or in our patterning. So what we want to do is we want to begin to repattern this with intention. So let me just cruise through here. Okay, this is where it starts to get really trippy. I will keep this brief, but if you have questions, like, let me know. All right, so there was a study that was done where, and on with humans, and this has been replicated hundreds of times and now, they did this study where they wired people up to, I believe it was EEGs, and they were studying free will. And it was a very simple exercise. They would just ask the participant to choose a hand to raise, your right hand or your left hand. And they would have the participant indicate the exact moment that they decided, that they perceived that they had decided to raise their right or their left hand, right? Seems pretty obvious. But what they found is that the brain's decision to raise the right or left hand happened 300 milliseconds before the conscious knowledge of the person saying, I chose to raise my right hand. So this study really kicked up and is still continuously created this huge study around free will. And okay, well, if my brain is making my hand raise before I'm even saying that I'm making my brain hand raise, do I have free will? Or am I destined by my cognitive patterning? So I mention this because it's fascinating, and I also mention it because what's coming up in the empirical science is that we, in the present moment, are a bit limited by our, or actually quite a bit limited by our pre-programming, right? So our present experience is predicated upon our past. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be rewriting the future past. So we're going to be creating evidence for the belief that we want to hold. And we're going to be doing that so that our brains can start to reference that as opposed to referencing the doubt or referencing the patterning that we can't do it or that it's not possible. So I know this is getting a bit tricky, and we're going to practice this in real time in just a second here. Okay, so how do we do this? So I'm going to be inviting you all in a moment here to share your disbelief or your limiting belief that you have. And we'll just do a one sentence round robin kind of popcorn style. Not asking to go into it yet. We're going to be doing that in a moment, but just to kind of see where everybody's at with their disbelief, the stories, right? Those limiting beliefs that are happening. And then I'll go ahead and walk us through the steps and we'll do the group exercise. So I will invite, raise your hand if you would not like to share your disbelief. And that's totally fine. There's no pressure at all. Okay. Thank you all for being willing participants. Okay. So in a sentence, take a moment to just see if you can distill it into a sentence or two. And I'll start with Layla. Yeah. Unless you need more time, I can cruise on to you. Do okay. Give everybody another moment. It looks like the wheels are turning. Okay, did that give you enough time, ladies? Need a moment? Okay. Let's do some, whenever everybody, or you're ready, just do a thumbs up and then I'll just do like critical mass. Keep your thumbs up if you are ready. Okay, cool. For those of you who are still writing, I'm gonna get the circle started and then you can hop in. All right. Layla, would you be willing to share?
Okay, it's very stretchy for me to share, and as I write it, I'm a little self-conscious about it, so but I think that I should give this like an honest shot, so I'll just read it. So I'm a weak-minded person that allows others to control my emotions and my future. I can't decide on what I want and how to do it because I'm in fear of others destroying it or taking it away from me.
Thank you for sharing that.
Sure.
That's stretchy. It feels stretchy. Who can relate with an element of what Layla shared? Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Mm-hmm. Jess.
Yeah. So I was thinking the other day about this recent commitment that I've made to my next path forward, and I'm just like so excited about it. So there's just it's kind of like a pivot in how I'm thinking about myself. And in addition, I have a couple adventures coming up, one that is especially like feeling like a dream. And it just seems like, I don't know, it's not sustainable, like having like this dream life or being this person that I've always wanted to be. It just feels like, how is that ever going to last? I'm just setting myself up for something disastrous down the line soon.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Who can relate with what Jess said? Yeah, Jess, like 1,000%, just so you know, I can relate. Yeah, totally. Kim.
Okay. I am embarking upon a lot of new things in my life, and when I get busy or like super involved in things, I'm used to having a partner to escape to, and I am choosing not to have one at this point, so that I can get in touch with myself. And I'm afraid that I won't find that same comfort in myself.
Thank you for sharing. I just got a little, thank you for sharing that, Kim. It's so brave. So fucking brave. Thank you. Lisa. Oh, you're muted. I'm going to unmute you.
Thank you. I haven't written this down, but my disbelief is that I just don't have what it takes to focus and vision and access my will in a strong enough way to really create what I want in my life.
Thank you for sharing that. Can anyone relate with what Lisa just offered up? Yeah. Thanks, Lisa. Sylvia.
Okay, so I'm getting back into like the corporate business world and, you know, with a new job again. And I think my disbelief is just kind of feeling like I can't be a leader or can't, I don't know, grow enough to have a good career in a company, that I'll always kind of be at the bottom in a way. And so yeah, kind of just career growth is where I have a lot of disbelief.
Mm. Thank you for offering that up. Yeah. Yeah. Who can relate with Sylvia share? Yeah. Some capacity. Thank you. Julie.
My disbelief is something that I'm dealing with every day, and it seems, I don't know, I'll just tell you. I don't believe that I can speak confidently in public. I'm talking like blushing. I don't feel like I can tell great stories or entertain and captivate people with what I have to say.
Thank you for sharing that. Who can relate with that one? Public speaking. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Ren.
Okay, so it's been quite the year. You guys are all pretty freaking amazing, by the way. I'm trying to come at this from more of a curiosity. But just from getting laid off in April, will I be able to make enough money to cover all of my obligations comfortably and still have money left over? Or just even cover my fucking obligations?
Yeah. Thank you for offering that up. Who can relate with Ren's? Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So relatable. Thank you. And Shannon, would you be willing to share a disbelief? Oh, I'm going to unmute you. Okay, go ahead.
I don't know whether or not I'm enough to build my own business. I feel like I'm really good at being a leader and building other people's business, but I feel very fearful, excuse me, of failure. Like I'm not good enough to build my own. Very limiting, and yeah.
Thank you.
I'm in corporate America helping other businesses, you know, with their business rather than my own.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for offering that one up. And who can relate with what Shannon's sharing here? Like segueing, yeah, Jessica's like, me! Everyone's got some relatability there. Shannon, thank you for sharing that. Totally natural to be feeling that way also. All right, ladies, thank you so much. Did I get everybody? Okay. Yeah, okay. Thank you so much for offering up those disbeliefs. So I want to honor that we're feeling this way, that these disbeliefs are running in our narrative, in our emotional script, in our cognitive script. I want to acknowledge that this is challenging for all of you, that it fucking sucks to have these doubts running on the daily basis, because it constantly feels like this inner belittling critic, right? I mean, I might be a little dramatic about it right now, but it kind of feels that way sometimes, right? Yeah. So, and it's not easy to dance in that space. And that's one of the things about the hell, like creating our hell yes life, that is the most difficult, is like, as soon as we give ourselves permission to dream or permission to say, oh, I want this thing, then we're entering into a territory that we don't know if we're going to, you know, there's no proof, right? That leap of faith, this leap of evidential faith, where we may not have any, or I'll get to that in a second, but we may feel like we don't have any evidence to support that we can do the thing. So it can feel pretty damn abysmal, trying to give ourselves the energy to move forward. And I want to acknowledge that first and foremost, that that's not easy. And I'm so proud of all of you for being so brave in giving yourself that permission to continue dreaming anyway, right? And not letting the fear shut you down completely. All right, so what do we do with all of this? So we've talked a lot about gremlins. We've talked a lot about reframing mindsets in previous calls. So I'm approaching this from a different angle, but you may hear some similar themes here, but there are some pretty badass tools and techniques that you can actually use to begin to dismantle your disbelief. The first thing I want to offer up is that your disbelief, it's not serving you, right? It's not serving you to disbelieve that you can do something. That like emotional attachment to like, I don't know if I can do it, like fuck, like, you know, like all the things that come up. It doesn't serve us. And what it used to be doing, and back in our evolution, back when we were, you know, kind of on the path to becoming where we're at as a species, it was trying to keep us safe, right? It was trying to keep us from going outside of the cave or venturing outside of the jungle into a new place because we might get eaten by a tiger. So it used to be, and still can be in places, of course, but it used to be that doing bigger things, different things, putting ourselves out there and being vulnerable was a biological and evolutionary risk. So that's not the case anymore, thankfully, in most places. So it doesn't serve us, but there may be a message in the disbelief that's trying to let us know that we may need to prepare more, or that we may need to, like, the journey might be some heavy lifting, or we might need to learn some new skills. So I invite you all, and this is before all of these steps here, but I invite you all to just to kind of zoom out and look for the message in the disbelief. What is the disbelief trying to communicate to me? Is it trying to tell me I need to, you know, like maybe take a few courses, or that I need to build up my savings, or that I need to really take some Toastmasters classes and like become more articulate or what have you? So there's a message in the disbelief, but aside from the messages in there, the emotional part of the disbelief that seems like this grandiose kind of super negative mama monster that's telling us that we can't, that doesn't serve us at all. So I just want to let you all know that you just let her go. Like, she can just GTFO out of our consciousness. Because I think that there's a belief in some of us that we need to have the disbelief so that we don't fail, or so that we don't do something stupid or like get ourselves in trouble. And we simply just, we don't need to listen to that. Okay, so here are the practical steps, and we're going to do the group exercise. I'm going to cruise through these pretty quickly. So first, it's about identifying the disbelief, which we just did, right? And there may be multiple or many disbeliefs inside of the disbelief, the umbrella or blanket disbelief. So keep digging, like layer under layer under layer under layer of like, okay, what is it that I really don't think I can do? Or what is it that I really doubt is possible? You know, just see what you can do to like excavate the layers of the disbeliefs. Step number two, and again, ladies, this is all based in neuroscience. This isn't like, you know, some theoretical philosophy. This is based in how our brains work and how to rewire our brains. So number two is to remember that and realize that everything that we believe is an assumption based on meaning that we've created. So this is getting a little bit into like Byron Katie's tool, the work that I've done with some of you and or will do with others of you. But this is in a way cognitive behavioral therapy, but ultimately what we're doing here is we're remembering, oh yeah, like this belief isn't absolutely true. Like, I don't know yet that this is true. I don't have any, you know, like, I don't know that this catastrophizing or this thing or this doubt is inevitable or destiny. The meaning that I'm giving this is based on my previous experience. So maybe I tried four times and I failed, right? Maybe I tried four times at losing weight and I didn't do it. I kind of failed at it, which is actually true for me. And so if the fifth time I give this a try and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna do this, and then I let those other four times come into play, then that's where this disbelief is coming from, right? It's coming from previous evidence. But it doesn't mean that it's absolutely true. It just means that I didn't do it, you know, didn't work four times. So keep that in mind. Like, your beliefs are subjective. They are not absolute reality unless you let them be. So then step three is to excavate, reflect, dig, and excavate the assumptions leading to the disbelief, right? So as I just mentioned, the assumptions in the weight loss situation might be, I tried four times to lose weight in different ways and it didn't work. So I can't lose weight, right? If that's my disbelief. And to keep digging, like, what other assumptions are at play? Maybe I have the assumption that, like, oh, I'm just cut out to, like, I have my mother's butt, or like, and my biology is against me, or whatever. Or that I'm uniquely flawed or something like that. So we want to, like, dig out all of the assumptions that are like making this disbelief seem real. And then we want to get curious. Excuse me. So we want to get curious about the, like, why are these assumptions in existence? Where did they come from? Right. Which I kind of just covered as well. But he talks about in the book, like in the last three chapters of Deviate, he talks about how curiosity is the key to anything we want to do. It's like literally the, what do they call it? The key to shifting our consciousness, shifting our belief systems, because when we get curious, we move out of I know for sure land of like black and white certainty, which is disbelief land. And we move into, like, why do I believe this? Or like, where is this coming from? And like, is it really true? And like all that stuff. So asking why, the almighty power of the why, right? Like, why is this my disbelief? Why don't I believe I can do this? Like, what's going on there? Oh yeah. Like my parent told me when I was younger that if I'm an artist, I'm going to starve. Or my, you know, maybe a colleague said that if I start my own business, I'm going to be struggling for the first 5 years. And so I don't believe that, or I've watched, you know, someone in my life struggle with their business for 5 years. And so it looks, you know, I don't think I can do it either. So we want to look at, like, where are we getting these stories from? Where are we coming up with these disbeliefs, right? And we also want to pay attention to, like, are our assumptions based on our experience or our interpretation, or is it like what other people have told us? Because that's important to pay attention to also. Like, are our assumptions built on the feeble rock of, or the feeble sand of somebody else's assumptions, on somebody else's assumptions, etc.? So, I mean, and that's how a lot of, like, racial or dogmatic or gender stereotypes come into play. But anyway, so once we identify where it's coming from, then we want to challenge these fucking assumptions. We want to challenge them to the point where we realize that, oh my gosh, like, that it's not absolutely true. Like, this is not for sure. This is not my destiny, right? So challenging the assumption is so powerful. I used to have a belief, disbelief when I started working with my first coach. I was like looking at what coaches were doing in the world, and I was like, that looks amazing, but there is no way in hell I could ever do that. Like, do what's happened here with this tribe and me traveling. I was like, yeah, right. You know, like, totally was zero inkling of, like, possibility, because that's just where I was in my life. A lot of the exercises I did for a few years was challenging those disbeliefs, which I'll talk about how in a moment. But challenging the assumptions, like, where did I get that I can't do it? You know, where did all of that come from? So then finding examples that disprove the assumptions. So find as many examples as you can, both personal and in the world, of how these assumptions that I can't, or I won't, or what have you, that it's bullshit, right? So disprove them. Like, well, this assumption that I can't lose weight on my fifth try is bullshit, because I actually haven't worked with a personal trainer. I actually haven't, like, dialed in my protein. I haven't dedicated to, you know, whatever it is. So we want to disprove this, like, A plus B equals C, this like fallacy that we're creating in our minds. And we want to disprove that with any evidence from the outside that's like, no, this disbelief is baloney. And then we also want to find examples that prove the belief that we want to have. It's down here. Okay. So focusing on the new belief and taking action. So this is where we want to, if I want to believe I can lose weight, I want to find all the evidence possible in my personal history of when I have done something that I wanted to do, even if it's not losing weight. Like, yes, I graduated from college. Like, yes, I, you know, blah, blah, blah. Or yes, I did what I said I was going to do in this capacity. So personal examples, and then also, and especially because we get really trapped in our own cycle, especially examples from the outside world and especially examples from science. So like looking at creating a business, for example, if you're researching the entrepreneurial literature, you're looking at the statistics, you're looking at the entrepreneurs that are flourishing within their first year, their first 2 years, you're studying how they're doing it. You're basically cracking open those neural pathways that used to be ignorant of this possibility, and you're giving it new information so that it can start to reference this new information instead of the old information. So providing positive evidence of as true or truer than for the new belief is so powerful. And that's where those neural pathways start to orient toward the yes, I can versus the no, I can't. And let's see here, embrace failure and imperfection. I'll let you ladies kind of read that one. That's something I talk about a lot, but if the disbelief is around like, you know, I'm going to fail or I'm not going to do it right, or I'm not going to be good enough. Well, you're probably going to fail and you're probably not going to do it right, but you know what? That's okay. And that's part of the journey. Like, we've been living under this like ridiculous farce that like we're supposed to succeed all the time and get it right all the time. Otherwise, you know, we're not doing it right, or we're doomed or something like that. And that's simply not the case. Like, any endeavor, business or otherwise, hell yes, life or otherwise, is going to require and necessitate trial and error and figuring things out on the fly and doing our best, falling on our faces and getting back up. So embracing that as opposed to like that being a metric for stopping is really important. And then remember the miraculous placebo effect. So this is actually one of the most fascinating things to me ever about humans. Many of you probably have heard of it, but maybe I invite you to consider it more deeply, where studies show that you can give someone a sugar pill, or you can tell them that they just got surgery on a part of their body and they will heal. Like they get 50, in some cases, even 50% as effectively as the actual medicine or procedure. The placebo effect is real. So what we tell our brains listen to. Like, it doesn't know the difference between reality and what we tell ourselves. So please remember that when you're navigating all of this, that you can slip in the tape of, yes, I can. And this is, you know, here's my evidence. And your brain will start to take that as like, real or the new belief, right? Okay, so that's a ton of info. Thanks for bearing with me, ladies. Let's go ahead and move into the group activity. Here's the link to the book. Let's move into the group exercise. And you've already shared with the group your doubt or disbelief. So let's just jump into challenging the assumptions. I think that sounds pretty fun right now. So for each of you, and I'll go ahead and facilitate the round robin. I am mindful that we're almost at time too, so we might clock through this a little bit quicker than I wanted to. So we know your disbelief that you mentioned a moment ago. So what I would like for the questioner to ask the questionee is what is one assumption that's at play that seems like to be making the disbelief true? And then what is a challenge to that assumption that could be a powerful antidote to like knock that out? And or what is a piece of evidence or a new assumption that supports the belief you want to have? OK. Okay, so I'll just say that again. What is one way or kind of a counterpoint to the disbelief you have? So as I mentioned earlier, I can't lose weight because I've tried 4 times, I can't. Well, I haven't hired a personal trainer and I haven't been watching my protein. Or inversely, if I hired a personal trainer and watched my protein, science says that I would lose weight, right? So what we're doing here is we're cracking open the seeming causality or fixed nature of these disbeliefs. Any questions before we get started? Okay, awesome. So let's try to do like 30 seconds to a minute. I think that would be bring us right at time. And if you intuitively have like a deeper or a question to help the person draw it out, that's okay. But let's be mindful of like no crosstalk or advice. We really just want to invite the answers to come forth from the questionee. All right, let's see here. Ren, would you be willing to ask Sylvia what the assumptions at play might be and a challenge to those assumptions?
Sure.
Thanks.
Okay, so Sylvia, what are the assumptions that are at play for you right now?
Let's see. I think maybe I'm assuming that I can't like learn and grow and change. So, you know, if I think that I can't be a leader or grow in a company, you know, that's assuming that I do nothing different, I guess. So that's, I don't know, my first thoughts.
So what do you think you could do to challenge that assumption?
Probably maybe just, take some classes, do some training on maybe being a leader or getting a mentor, different things like that maybe.
Yeah. I think those would be fantastic ideas.
Sweet. Yes.
Yeah. Mentors are invaluable too.
Yes, I need to get one.
Yeah. How, I'm going to take this a step further. Sylvia, what action item can bring you closer to doing that?
So actually today I was looking up MBA programs. Ooh. So yeah, I've been thinking about it for a while, doing a master's, and I found one, so I might take a tour in the next couple weeks. So, and as far as mentors, I have contacted someone in my company that does corporate sustainability and compliance and stuff, and so I'm going to meet with them.
Congrats! That's awesome! Yay!
Hey, thank you. So
taking action. Yeah. So in taking, I mean, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but the action that you're taking right now is making those disbeliefs, they're going to start shrinking down because you're going to start realizing, oh, it's totally possible for me to learn and people are willing to help me out. So I love that you're taking action. That's super badass. Yay. Would you be willing to ask Julie?
Yes. So the first question is, Julie, what are the assumptions that are at play with your current disbelief?
So my assumptions are that I don't have interesting ideas or I'm not knowledgeable to speak on a topic, or even like in social situations that I can't like pull off this personality that I want to have.
And let's see, what was my next question, Fawn? Is what can you do to change that or
challenge that?
Mm-hmm. To challenge that, yeah.
Well, there's something that I was... That's a tough one. One thing is that like when I was starting my website, I had a really hard time writing about myself. So So that can be something, I think, is kind of figuring out. I'm a writer, so it would help me to write about who I am and find a story that I feel represents me and is interesting.
Yeah, sounds awesome. Yeah, that's a great example. Thanks for offering that up. It's really just like taking the time to contemplate and kind of sit back and think of a story that is the version of you that you want to own. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's definitely what I'm saying. I'm even trying to, and even something that I'm doing at work is, it's a little bit forced, but it's also just like pushing me in this direction is having more meetings where I have to talk about myself and talk about the company that I work for. So really, I guess that the practice and also like what you said, prepare and learn. So like the practice and preparation of, you know, teaching myself who I am and how I want to like represent myself. Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks for that. Thanks for facilitating that, Sylvia. Julie, would you like to field this to Shannon?
Yes. Hey, Shannon. What are the assumptions that are fueling your disbelief? On mute.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. My assumption is I'm not going to have enough money to sustain supporting my lifestyle, my current lifestyle, with a brand new business. So that is a big assumption and fear.
And what can you do to disprove or challenge the assumption?
Honestly, I don't know. I'm looking for ideas. So that's for another call, probably.
Do other people's stories inspire you?
Yes. Yes, for sure.
Do you have a thought brewing there, Julie?
I mean, maybe finding a story that you can see yourself in, like someone who did it, you know, with. But really, like, relatable to you with everything that you've got going on.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion.
Yeah, that's great. Awesome. Julie, I have a book recommendation for you. It's called The Alter Ego Effect, actually for everybody, but specifically to you, Jules. And then Shannon, I would love to recommend to you Girl, Wash Your Face.
Girl, Wash Your Face. Okay.
Yeah, Girl, Wash Your Face. It's great on audiobook too. I know that you mute quite a bit. So yeah, I mean, mother of two or three who started her own business from, you know, nothing, and how she managed to do that, and she's like got this huge empire now. So okay, awesome. Just throwing stuff in. Shannon, would you be willing to field this to Lisa?
Sure. Hey, Lisa. What assumptions are at play for you in your life? Hello?
Oh, okay. I'm unmuting you, Lisa. I'm trying to.
Got it?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. I think the biggest assumption is that my learning curve really holds me back. And so it's making it really challenging and intimidating to try new things at this point in my life.
Okay. Can you give an example to disprove or challenge your assumption?
Well, it's a matter of stepping into learn and keep going and not being stuck in what I know, right, and being stuck in what I have known, because right now I'm in the middle of needing to change what I do for a living because of some of my body limitations. Mm-hmm. And so it's welcoming being in my beginner's mind. Yes. So that's what I really need to challenge, is welcoming my beginner's mind, allowing myself to learn something new.
Good. That's awesome. Forget the other question.
That's great. No, that was it. Like something that to challenge that belief. Yeah. Or counter it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And I'll offer this up, Lisa, as well, because I think this applies to a lot of us ladies, is the mentorship thing. And even if it's not an in-person direct mentorship, which is optimal and awesome, learning, like, one of the fastest ways to not have to learn all the things on our own is to find someone to own and, like, have them teach us or take a program or reverse engineer it. So that can really kick those, like, learning curve gremlins to the curb, because we're getting the, like, drip fed the potent stuff, as opposed to like all these books and fillers. So, right. Yeah. But I love the embracing of the beginner's mind too. Like, that's so valuable. Lisa, yeah. Would you be willing to chat with Jess about this?
Sure. Hi, Jess. So what assumption is at play in your disbelief that makes it seem true to you?
I think there's like this echo of just history of hearing, like, for every up there's a down, or that nothing good lasts forever, or that, you know, you gotta hope for the best and prepare for the worst because it's probably gonna happen at some point or something like that. Mm. So yeah, I guess that, like, there's just these voices that I've accumulated over the years that have been weighing heavily over the past month or so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And is there any action you can take to challenge these beliefs or these assumptions that those beliefs are true?
I mean, I think I've been doing a lot of self-work to come to my own, like, conclusions and realizing that I don't actually think that way. And so I think making an effort to surround myself with people who have a positive outlook on life and are a good influence on finding the happiness in whatever space they're in is really important for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good start.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's so important. Like, the attitudes and the mindsets of the people that we're around become our own. It's like, that's human nature. So I really appreciate that you're starting to realize, like, oh, wait a minute. Like, that's not coming from me. That's coming from a different, someone else's belief system. I want to be around people who are believing these awesome things. That's great, Jess. Yeah, would you be willing to check in with Layla about this?
Sure. Layla, I'm trying to remember what the exact
question. I can put it back up. Yeah.
Ah, perfect. Thanks. Layla, what assumptions are at play in your disbeliefs?
I feel like that other people have control over my well-being and my emotions and my future. And I think for, like, many years, I, you know, have struggled with some insecurities. And I think from that, like, I have a lot of, like, codependency. Like, I want people to like me. Like, my emotions and how I feel are based off of what others do. And I'm also, my emotions and my feelings are based off of what others do around me. And that's a very like mentally exhausting place to be. And when I got engaged and so many people were telling me what to do with my life, and that's when it like was just so exhausting that I was just like, fuck all you guys. Like, I don't want to talk. Excuse my language. but I think that, a lot of, my assumptions, maybe come from that in me, like my like reactions to other people's shit. And, I've had, some negative things, people attempting to inflict negativity on me in some pretty gross ways recently. And like, I've allowed it to affect my goals, when before any of those things happened, I was on fire. Like, I was moving forward, and I still, now it's like steady and I'm maintaining what I'm doing because I worked so hard to get there. And then now there's like all this growth that I wanted to do that I had plans for. I'm like terrified to do. Cause I worry that somebody's trying to snatch it from me or destroy it, you know? So these are a lot of the assumptions that are happening right now, is that other people have an effect on my future, my decisions.
Yeah. I totally hear you there. Can you, give me an example of a new belief or the beliefs that you would like to have in this space versus what you're feeling now?
Thank you. I think that I would like to believe that no matter what, you know, other people that don't have good intentions may attempt to inflict on me for their own pride or their own satisfaction, just doesn't affect me. Almost as if they don't exist, whether I have to see them or not. I understand that like some things might happen and you're going to feel emotional about it in the moment, or you might be like, oh gosh, why did that happen? But to be able to quickly manage that and like move forward with my life as if these things don't affect me in a negative way. I don't affect my decision. Yeah. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. I struggle with that too. So I would love to hear if there's like a suggested action step, or if you have an idea of what your action step would be to find that space.
Oh, for me?
Yeah.
The only thing I've thought of so far is like to, because I had something big happen recently, and I think the only thing I thought of so far is like sit down one day, like dedicate space to like really meditate and think about it, journal about it, how these things make me feel, why it's affecting me negatively, like writing down all my fears related to it, what I'm the most scared of, and then just reviewing it and seeing like what's rational and then what I can do to eliminate those fears. And if I'm challenged with this in the future, what would like my best self want to do if this happens again? Mm. And you know, and just get full, and also, sorry to go back, but also like write down how much it's hurt me. Like just get that all out of my system at once. Cause I haven't really like sat down and thought about it. I just been, it's just been a steady hum in my life, and I'm like, no, this is really annoying. So just get it like all out one day, just like get it all out of my system. And then ask those questions, and what I can do to eliminate those fears. And then, maybe write some like affirmations from there to review every day, you know, on bad days, you know, just to remember why I'm here, why I'm doing it. So that way I can kind of just do it all at once and then move forward and not just eliminate this thing that's happened. And it's, you know, this thing that's happened has also been I've had other things in the past that are similar that affect me, but not to this level. So I want to be able to have this tool to move forward in the future. Sorry to elaborate so much. I hope what I'm saying makes sense, because I'm also thinking off the top of my head a little bit too. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jess.
Yeah. I was going to say it totally makes sense. And then I lost it. So go ahead. I'm really sorry that you're experiencing this right now. I relate in a different way, but also, you know, finding that space and kind of letting go of my reaction to things and assessing whether or not that's reasonable, but doing that in an appropriate like time space before things escalate.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense before things escalate. Yeah, and if you have ideas like later outside of the call, I'd love to hear too. Thanks, Jess. Yeah.
Great support volley. I loved listening in on that, ladies. Thank you. And I just want to remind everybody that in module 6, there is a workbook that unfortunately is an important part of our human growth, which is the relationship red flags workbook. So all kinds of stuff in there about toxic relationships, unhealthy relationships. What does that look like? How do we navigate them? Blah, blah, blah. So feel free to tune into that. If there are people who are, you know, sabotaging or directly having a negative impact. Let's see here. Oh, Leila. And also I realize we're over time, ladies. So if anyone needs to hop off, by all means, feel free. Thank you so much for being here. If you can hang a bit extra so we can finish this round. And then, if you want to stay for a takeaway, awesome. I always love that, but there's no expectation there. So I just want to give everyone the ease of knowing that you can hop off if you need to. Leila, would you be willing to check in with Kim around her assumptions?
Yeah. Hi, Kim.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Kim, what are the assumptions that might be at play right now?
Let's see. So one of the assumptions are that with the things that I'm doing, which for a change or for me, things I want to do, things that I will be the leader of and things like that, are for me. So one of the things is that I will be overwhelmed. That's an assumption. And then the second part is because of the way I've lived my life, I often become overwhelmed. And that was doing a lot of things for other people, but the assumption is still that I will be overwhelmed, and that with that, I will need someone there so that I can escape all of the things that overwhelm me, because I'm just used to that happening.
Thank you for being so honest with that. So what are some things that you can do to challenge some of these assumptions and also maybe break some of the habits from the past?
One thing is to, I think to realize that since these things are being led by me, that I can make the decision to set my schedule so that I'm not overwhelmed. Like, it's not depending on somebody else's timing or anything. It actually is in my control. And I have to realize that it's in my control this time. You know, I'm setting the tone or I'm setting the pace. But And I just need to be conscious of that and then make it happen, not try to squeeze little things in. Or, you know, I'm doing this thing, this big thing for me, but somebody needs me, so maybe I can squeeze this thing in for them. But then I won't be overwhelmed if I keep the focus on my thing and make that a priority for me, because I'm very much used to squeezing other people or actually just going with their agenda and squeezing myself in. And now it would be the opposite, and even not squeezing them in so much.
So. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Do you have any, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, because it might be something we're going to ask.
Do you have any, tools or ideas on to help you decide on whether or not, like, maybe if someone does need help and you do have time, or maybe you can include it, but you want to make sure you honor yourself first, but do you have any tools or ideas or questions that you ask yourself on whether or not this is something that you are able to do if people ask, and maybe you have the space for it, right?
I try to put my things in a calendar or set alarms for myself so that I can prioritize that, and anything anybody else wants me to do, then if it doesn't fit in that time, then it can't be done. Now they're just gonna have to wait for another day, or tell them, you know, I just can't do it today. So that's
Yeah, I like the reminders. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just trying to honor time with myself. I have to stay for a very long time. I was married for a long time. And just, you know, and my son is leaving, so I'm kind of getting adjusted to kind of appreciating the time by myself. It is going to be different for me. But, you know, I want to get used to honoring that time with me and appreciating it, and not always filling my life with everybody else, and just really trying to focus on myself. Try not to.
Yes.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I'm excited for you. Yeah.
Yeah, we celebrate that for you, Kim. It's your turn now, darling. Hell yeah. And Kim, would you be willing to check in with Ren about these questions, and then our circle will be complete?
Yeah. Hi, Ren.
Hey, Kim.
So what assumptions are coming up for you?
Well, I think it's because the last time I was actually freelancing, which was quite a while ago, it was like 7, almost 8 years ago, when I was hired on at my last job, full-time job, and I was freelancing before that, and I had a part-time job in addition to everything else I was trying to do. And right now I don't have a part-time job, and I don't want a part-time job. Okay. So I thought I wanted one, and then I had one and I hated it, and I don't want that now. I want something different, and it's terrifying me. In a good way, sort of, but to be completely honest, it is kind of terrifying me, because I do have my husband to fall back on, but I don't want, he's already taken up the lion's share of the household expenses and such, and I don't want him to have to take over more. So I want to be able to carry my own weight, and I guess one of my assumptions is I don't know if I can without a crappy part-time job. Yeah. I think that's a big part of what's been going through my head. It's like, okay, I don't have that to fall back on, and do I need that? And I'm assuming that I might. Yeah.
Okay. So what could you do to challenge the assumption that you may need something to fall back on, but you don't want to?
Well, I know building up my savings more would be extremely helpful. I did have more in there, but I've kind of run through a chunk of that the last couple of months, just out of necessity. So I think building up my savings more would definitely be helpful. Other than that, I'm not really sure, but I'm open to suggestion.
Can I ask a question? Because you said you don't want your husband to take it on, but have you talked to him about that?
Yes, that is something that we talked about. Actually, we talked about it as soon as I got laid off in April. Okay. So it's something he can do and he's willing to do, but I really don't want him to have to do. And I think that is more because he's already taken on way more than he had taken on at our old house. Like over the last few years, he's actually taken on more already. And mm-hmm. I kind of feel like if I asked him to take on more, that I might not be pulling my own weight anymore, if that makes sense.
It does.
Yeah. I mean, even if it's temporary, even if it's supposed to be temporary, I know I would get too comfortable, so I don't want to end up that being a crutch, I guess. So if I can avoid it, I'd like to.
Okay. That's yeah. Understandable.
Yeah.
I think we'll just want to not put the pressure on our mates or yeah. whatever to run everything. And
right,
question was going to be like, what if there was a deadline, but you even said if it's temporary, you don't want to be comfortable.
Yeah.
So is your assumption also that your business won't provide that extra income that you're looking for?
That's definitely a concern. And yeah, I think that's fair to say that is an assumption at this point. Because this is really actually getting into the nitty gritty and actually making a real go of it, because I don't have a full-time job anymore. Mm-hmm. It's either sink or swim.
Yeah. And you're assuming that you're going to sink, Ren.
Yeah. Completely honest, yes.
Well, what could you do to challenge that?
Well, I'm looking at other artists and other freelance professionals in my area and in the suburbs that I have worked with or that I even kind of know, just to get, whether they know it or not, to provide a little bit of inspiration to keep going, to keep trying, and also to kind of get an idea of what they're doing and how they're doing it, maybe see what I can adopt and what might work for me that they're already doing. I did recently actually complete writing an actual contract for an illustration commission a few weeks ago, and I sent it over to this lady that is in my area who is a professional illustrator, and I asked her to look it over, and she did, and she thought it was awesome, and she's like, this is way more comprehensive than mine. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? So she sent me hers over, and she's like, yeah, this is like the bare bones of what I sent, of what I do for a contract. And I'm like, you're telling me I stressed over this for 2 weeks. Not that it didn't pay off, but still.
Right, it sounds like you have a plan then.
Well, it's a very rudimentary plan. It's a very shitty fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants plan, but I guess it's a plan.
I'm going to hop in here just for the sake of the time. I think it's a great plan. In fact, learning from the people in your industry and in your community, looking at what they're doing, what's working. That's, like I said earlier, like that's a hack, right? It's like a hyperleap. So I love that you're already doing that. And I think it's awesome that your contract was so comprehensive. And I think there's one more member in this call right now that would agree with me named Jessica, who works in contracts or worked for a long time. So yeah, like the more robust and CYA you are, the better. so that's great. All right. So to close out, ladies, thank you all so much for staying over time. What I would invite you to do that we haven't really done in previous calls is share in the Facebook group. Right after we hop off this call, I'm going to create a post in the Facebook group related to tonight's call. What is everybody's action step, right? So each of you shared something that you can do to counter this disbelief or this assumption that you've been carrying. And it's great to say, oh yeah, I could do this thing, or like, you know, I'm going to do this. But let's take it that next step further. And I would love and appreciate if everybody could comment with, this is the thing I'm going to do. This is when and how I'm going to do it. And if there's a way we can help you stay accountable to that, then let us know as a group, like, oh, I'll post in the group next week when I, you know, do the thing or what have you. So I'm really wanting to weave in these calls into the accountability and support of the group in the Facebook group. So, and everybody's in the Facebook group. So that's good. Does that sound okay to all of you? You don't have to, but it's, you know, it's helpful to share our goals. And or if you're in the Steady Progress Agra side group, you're welcome to share it there if it's related to those goals. So awesome. Okay, so I would love to do a takeaway round. I know that we are over time. So is anybody interested in sharing a quick takeaway? We'll do it like popcorn round, or do we all have to hop off? Everyone has to hop off. Okay. Oh, Julie wants to do a takeaway? Yeah. Okay, a quick takeaway round. Cool. Let's keep it to a sound bite. Okay. All right.
My takeaway came from Layla's share. And it is, what would my best self do if it happens again?
Awesome.
I've been there. I've done visualizations, but somehow I forget how powerful they are. And you saying that, and you saying that in that way just really spoke to me. What would my best self do if it happens again?
Badass. Yeah, nice. That was amazing. Layla, take away.
Yes, thank you so much. Only takeaway is just, it's really, really nice to connect with you all today. I think I really needed it. And yeah, so thank you everyone for being honest and sharing and supportive. You know, it gives me so much light and energy. So thank you guys.
Yay. Thanks for being here. Thanks for receiving the light and energy. I think Lisa had to hop off. She had messaged me. Kim, take away.
For some reason, Ren's flying by the seat of your pants stuck with me. I feel like, all of us in our own way are flying by the seat of our pants because we really don't know what's next, but hey, you know, we're here. And I just admire everybody on here about how they're handling and appreciate everybody for their just sharing and, you know, making you kind of feel like you're not by yourself. So,
yeah. Hallelujah. Jessica, take away.
Yeah, I relate to all of these takeaways. I also wrote down that statement that Layla said specifically in quotes. And I am realizing as we're all talking here that my action item is to surround myself with more positive people. And this is exactly what I'm doing right now. Like all of you offering up your perspectives and your advice and your compassion and empathy is like so valuable and helpful. So thanks.
Beautiful. Yeah, definitely sourcing that positive space with us here in the tribe, and I'm excited for you to continue to expand on that outside of this as well. Okay, ladies, thank you so much for being here with me tonight. I know that this was a heavier one. It's like super in depth. So go back through the workbook. Let me know if you have questions. Feel free to pick up that book if you, for some reason, have some extra time to read some neuroscience. And otherwise, let's go ahead and keep each other in step in the Facebook group. And I love you all and miss you all and appreciate you so much. Ciao.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.